Are you or someone you know shopping for churches like you're comparing prices between discount retailers? You just might be a switcher. And we'll tell you what we know about you in this edition of Inside Lifeway. Welcome to Inside Lifeway, the official news podcast of Lifeway Christian Resources. I'm your host, Brooklyn Knoll. Changes in worship style, or too many changes overall, hypocritical and judgmental members, churches run by cliques, and not a place where God appeared to be working, were all reasons people gave for switching churches. Switchers are defined as Protestant Americans who have attended more than one church regularly as an adult, and there are a lot of us who fall into that category. My return guests today are Brad Wagner and Scott McConnell, both of Lifeway Research. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Well, let's jump right into this and really take a look at how this study is different from one you did about 4 months ago on the formerly church. Scott, I think you have something to say about that.
Together, these two studies give us a good impression of who are these people who leave our churches. And they really fall into one of two categories. The formerly church, the previous study, are those people who leave the church pretty much for good, or at least for a long time. And the other group are those who leave the church just to find another church. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We surveyed 415 people who have left a church for a reason other than moving, because we wanted to focus on them. We do know a lot of people do change churches because they move. And so we did sample a couple hundred of movers as well, so we could do some comparisons there. Mm-hmm. But most of what we'll talk about today are those people who change churches for a reason other than moving.
They just stayed in the same town and went a block down or something.
That's right.
Okay. I guess we should just start with, what are some of the top reasons that people have told you they switched churches?
Well, we kind of looked at this study from the standpoint of push factors and pull factors. What were the reasons that people left? And actually, when we asked them if the push was greater than the pull, we found that it was. 58% said their main motivation for switching churches was leaving the church where they were attending. And so we know that the push factors are strong, and there are a number of them. Obviously, today we won't be able to cover all of those reasons, but let me just mention a few, and then Scott can chime in as well. The top two reasons that church switchers stated for leaving was the church that they were attending was not helping them develop spiritually, and then secondly, they did not feel engaged in meaningful work or meaningful service. Hmm. Now, we are very encouraged by that, because these respondents indicated to us that they do want to grow as Christians. They want to learn. They want to improve. They want to see development in their life. They want to change. And for whatever reason, they said that they did not see that happening adequately in their lives in their previous church. And then they want to be involved. They don't want to be just pew sitters. They want to plug in. And we've seen this in other studies that we've done. People want to be involved. And so I think that's a positive thing we can look at as to why these people were leaving. Okay. Now, let me just add one quick other comment, Brooklyn, before we get too deep in this analysis. We acknowledge the fact that we don't know the individual contexts of each respondent. We really don't know what their church was like, what their preacher was like. All we can say is that we have to trust that, because the sample's large enough, that they're telling us their perceptions of why they left. And so wanting to grow spiritually and wanting to be involved in meaningful work. And then they made some comments, too, about too many changes in the church, and made some negative comments about the quality of preaching that they had in their previous church. Do you want to comment on either of those?
For what it's worth, I think it's interesting that these people are their personal reasons for leaving. Now, is that really something that the church is dealing with, or are they more, I mean, they feel uninvolved, but isn't that on them?
Obviously, that there's two sides to each story, and we're only seeing the one side of things. But at the same time, this is really a unique opportunity. Most church leaders don't get to hear from those people who leave. Most people leave quietly, just like we leave a business we're not satisfied with quietly, and we don't tell people we're leaving or why we're leaving. Mm-hmm. And this is a unique opportunity to learn from them why they're leaving in an atmosphere that's not charged or personally charged. And so while we would admit that some of these are not necessarily biblical reasons for leaving, or we still can see a real honest perspective on the church. There are a couple books out right now written by atheists mm-hmm. who are talking about the church, and people find those very interesting because it's a fresh perspective. And we're bringing, you know, 400 people's fresh perspective, mm-hmm. sort of looking back on a church that they used to attend. And this is really kind of a unique opportunity for churches to learn from their perspective.
These reasons that are pushing people, you mentioned push and pull, out of churches, are there legitimate reasons in your eyes?
Yes, I think there are legitimate reasons for some people to go to a different church. And what comes to my mind, Brooklyn, right off the bat, would be doctrinal reasons. You know, okay. Of course, everybody has their own idea of negotiables and non-negotiables in terms of their beliefs, their core beliefs, their core values. But clearly, I'll be honest to say that if I was a member of a church and it shifted its theology significantly, mm-hmm. especially on what we would consider to be the core doctrines of the faith, absolutely. The Apostle Paul spent a lot of time writing his letters to counter heresy. And so I do believe that doctrinal infidelity would be one reason for mm-hmm. a legitimate change of a church. Or perhaps even there's been a lot of cases where there's been moral or ethical failure.
Okay.
Doesn't necessarily mean you have to leave the church, but I can understand why some would become disenchanted. Now, I want to be quick to add, there's probably a lot of superficial reasons that people leave. They become right. kind of narcissistic church shoppers who are looking for the next entertainment church. And so we would all acknowledge, especially those of us who've been in church work for a while, that there's some shallow reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do believe that there can be substantive reasons for a change.
Scott, overall, would you call the respondents, were they leaving for these legitimate reasons, or were they more kind of what you consider the shallow reasons?
Even some of the places where they're critical of their previous church, some of those personal relationships, if they perceive those other members as being abrasive, judgmental, even hypocritical,
that
prevents them from being the member they need to be in that sure. fellowship. And so while we would say that there's a biblical way to deal with some of those relationship issues,
we can understand.
We can why. Understand that sometimes that they aren't always able to work those out. And so they've moved on to another church where they're currently serving and attending and hopefully growing.
Dr. Wagner, you mentioned the push and pull factor, that most of these people left because they were pushed for one reason or the other. But what is pulling them? With these ones that did leave for those reasons, or what pulls them to a new church just down the block, as the case may be?
Well, absolutely. I think there's some ideas that we can learn from these respondents about what did attract them to their next church. And we actually looked at two different groups. There were some that there was a period of time before they joined another church. And with many folks, though, they transitioned rather quickly. So we got a little different picture from those two groups. But when we look at all of the respondents combined and said, what was it that attracted you to the new church?
Mm-hmm.
We were encouraged to find that right off the bat, they said the church's beliefs. You know, there are some quarters of Christianity where you get the idea that you're supposed to kind of hide your beliefs and sugarcoat everything. And maybe incrementally over time, they start to know the real doctrine of the church. But this study would indicate that right at the very top, that what attracted them to the new church was the core beliefs and doctrines of the church they joined.
Hmm.
I don't know exactly how they discovered those beliefs and doctrines, but they were looking for a church that revealed, this is what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was right at the very top. And then there were two or three other reasons that, Scott, I believe we kind of lumped together, and that was the quality of the preaching, the quality of the worship, mm-hmm. and the style of the music. So if you wind all those together and talk about the worship experience, it was big. Now, that doesn't surprise us, but they were looking for a meaningful worship experience with good preaching, meaningful worship, with music that they felt like they could connect with. And so, once again, the worship service is the front door to the church.
It's the experience that they all share. Only half of them are going to be involved in a small group Bible study to get teaching in that way or some of the other ministries of the church, but they're all going to be sharing the worship service. And so that really becomes one of the top areas in them choosing a church. Probably the third kind of area behind these beliefs, the worship service, is authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for people who not only say what they believe, but they actually live it.
Okay.
And so authenticity is a big factor as people look for a church.
And I was real encouraged that authenticity once again showed up in the study, because And I think part of it is that, Scott, they want a sense that people live what they preach. And a lot of these atheistic criticisms of Christianity today has been partly fueled by that the public sees a discrepancy sometimes between what Christians profess and how they live and some of the big scandals that we could talk about. But I think it goes beyond that, Brooklyn. I think that, and maybe this is very subjective, but I think when people go to a church, and I'm in that condition right now. You know, we've recently moved to Nashville and my wife and I are looking for a church home. Mm-hmm. Well, when we visit, I do want to sense, even if it's a subjective sort of a call, that the pastor in particular, not just the pastor, but in particular the pastor, you sense that this is a real guy, you know, that he's not putting on a front, he's not pretentious, he's not a salesman, but he's a genuine Christian who really cares about his ministry and cares about his preaching and the people.
Okay.
So authenticity is something that people feel or not, I think.
Well, it's interesting because we've talked a couple times. It keeps coming up, this idea of community. It came up here in this study and also in the Formerly Church study, and just how very much people expect that and want that out of their church, and that involvement, and that really just to feel like they're part of something. And that would explain the worship experience and things like that. You also mentioned the preaching, that people were really interested in a different, either a different style of preaching or different content. In fact, 54% of the respondents said the preaching at their new church was more interesting than that at their previous church. Do you really think that's a problem with the preaching, or is that just an issue of the listener's attention span?
The fact that many of these folks have found good preaching at their new church gives me an indication that it wasn't just the listener.
Okay.
Because if it was the listener's problem, they'd have a problem at every church that they attend.
Are they maybe just bored, though, Scott?
That could happen over time. We don't have necessarily an indication whether that's something that grows over time. But
okay.
9 out of 10 of these people who have switched churches currently believe that the preaching at their church is relevant. It's clear, it's understandable, and it's interesting. And those are great numbers any pastor would like to hear.
Of course.
And
yeah.
So somebody who's been disgruntled in the past, many of these folks, maybe only about a third to a half, felt that way about their previous church, the preaching there. So again, this is a critical factor, like we just mentioned. This is one of the things on their short list of what they're looking for when they look for a church. It's comforting and a hopeful sign for the church today that they're finding it.
Yeah, and if I could just add a quick comment on that, 86% of these folks said that the preaching at the church that they joined, their newest church, challenged them more to live like a Christian. Because one of my concerns, Brooklyn, was, okay, are they just looking for kind of an entertaining pastor?
An experience,
you know, lots
right.
of stories, you know, and video clips. And you know, there you can have a legitimate debate about preaching and what should and shouldn't take place in a context of a worship service. But I was wondering, are they just looking for more entertainment? But actually, and we don't know for sure, Scott, because again, there's only so much you can do in a quantitative survey like this. But these respondents said, I feel more challenged to live out my Christian faith under the new preaching. So, you know, how much we can read into that, I don't know. But it's possible we could see that they feel challenged to change the way they live. So we hope that means that there was substance to the preaching and not just a better communicator.
Well, most of these people are not going to know anything about the preaching when they start to visit a new church. How is it that they find the new church? Are they internet? Where are they finding this information, Scott?
The primary way is through invitations. It's just that one-on-one contact where somebody personally invites them to come to church with them. And kind of related to that, the second highest reason is people talking about their church, just word of mouth, talking positively about the things going on in their church. And again, those are things that even the formerly churched, when we asked them what would get you to come back to church, they said an invitation would probably be the number one way. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to want to have a change of heart a little bit too. They're going to want to feel like coming back, but that personal invitation would actually prompt them to try it. And that's what in fact is bringing church switchers to their new church to find a new location.
Wasn't it about 51%, Scott, said that a personal invitation from a friend or a relative or a family member was part of their the influence that drew them to their new church.
The 51% is actually those who had been away from church for a while.
About
a quarter of church switchers have been away from church or between churches for more than 3 months.
Okay.
And so a full half of them, it was a personal invitation that brought them back to church. They would have been in the formerly churched category if somebody had not done that.
This theme of relationships just keeps coming up and just building strong relationships and really reaching out to one another. Now, are the people that are switching, are they what you call chronic switchers? Do we have a small contingency of people that are just church hopping, or is it really a larger issue?
About two-thirds of the church switchers have only attended two or three churches as an adult.
Okay.
And so the majority are not chronic switchers. About a quarter have attended four or five churches, and only 6% of these non-mover church switchers have been to eight or more churches. That'd be quite a few.
Yeah.
Now, some of this is age-related. If we look at those who have been to six or more churches, they've regularly attended six or more churches as an adult. Among 18 to 35-year-olds, there's only 6% of that group
who
have been to a lot of churches.
Sure.
Whereas one out of five people who are 50 years old and older have been to six churches. And so some of it's an age-related thing. And we only asked about the most recent switch, whether that was related to a move.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's likely that some of those other church switches were related to a residential move.
Okay, I see. What does this mean? What all this information, it's a ton of information, but what does it mean for a practical application? What can pastors be doing and churches be doing to really put this to use?
Well, I think that is a very important question, Brooklyn, or the implications of the study. Now, I speak from one who has over 20 years of church experience, so I was often, you know, dealing with these kinds of issues. You know, I led new members training classes, and I interviewed people who were switching churches. And, you know, it is important to know how do we view this data and how can we do our job better. And I think the implications are fairly obvious. First of all, the fact that people want to grow and they want to be meaningfully involved.
Right.
That means that churches need to be very intentional about a process of helping new people when they come into the life of the church to become informed, trained, discipled, assimilated into the life of the church in some type of Sunday school or small group structure. I know at our church we had a new members orientation process, and a lot of churches do that today where they take time to teach new members about what the church believes doctrinally. And then there needs to be a process of helping individuals find their appropriate place of service. And Scott and I, earlier this morning as we were talking about this, the word meaningful, you want to comment on what you think that tells us, Scott, about meaningful service?
As they said, they were looking for meaningful work in the church, or one out of five said they weren't finding it in their previous church. It reminds me of what Tom Rainer and Eric Geiger found in the Simple Church research and the book that accompanied that, is the need for reduction in a church, to reduce all the things that are going on in your church to the things that matter, the things that are about the purpose of your church and this process of discipling believers and in reaching the lost. And so when you add extra activities at your church, it's easy for people to get involved but not feel like it matters. And so to make sure the church is focused on the things that matter.
So it has to be purposeful involvement, which I think means that part of our job as pastors and staff members and lay leaders would be to help these new members understand their spiritual gifts, how they're wired, and then find a place of service that matches their God-given DNA, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so clearly we've got to do a good job of getting people assimilated into the life of the church. And then the other thing, Brooklyn, that I think is an implication is the whole emphasis on doctrine and beliefs and preaching.
Mm-hmm.
It matters. Churches shouldn't disguise or hide or minimize who are we as a church.
Right.
This is who we are. This is what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
These are our core values. This is our doctrinal foundation. I think this study ought to encourage leaders to be more clear in communicating that in a variety of ways. And then the importance of the quality of the worship service, you know, whether it's the sermon or whether it's the worship and music.
Right.
We have to really put a lot of energy in. I think a lot of churches do.
Mm-hmm.
put a lot of energy into that. But this study would bear out the importance of the worship experience. And then the last thing I'll add in terms of implication, and Scott, you feel free to add thoughts that are on your mind, would be this whole invest and invite thing that I know Andy Stanley has kind of popularized. But this study, just like the Formerly Church study, underscores that the greatest potential for any pastor and his people to get them energized mm-hmm. in saying, you all need to reach out into the community. You need to invite people. We found that in our standout church study, too, that we released last month, Brooklyn, mm-hmm. that's also on our website that you'll refer to in a moment, that the churches that were the strongest churches evangelistically in our denomination were churches that the laity felt energized and positive about inviting others to come to visit the worship service or some other activity or event in the life of the church. Scott, you have any other just thoughts about implications that for this study on for leaders?
To bring this full circle, there's one other difference between the formerly churched and those who switch churches. Mm-hmm. So they're both walking out the back door of a church.
Right.
One group is finding a new church and getting involved there, but there's a group that doesn't come back. One of the key differences there are their beliefs in God. Mm-hmm. The formerly churched, only 19% said they have a strong faith in God. And in fact, only 61% even would accept the label Christian. Now, among the church switchers, 94% would say they're Christian, mm-hmm. and 75% are devout Christians, people who feel they're strong in their faith. And I think that's a reminder within the church that there are people attending our churches every week who are not believers. And because they're there frequently, we sometimes forget that.
Right.
And so pastors need to continue to be evangelistic, and as members, we need to have those honest, authentic conversations where we find out where people are at. And I think that's a good reminder because it's easy to forget.
Well, honestly, I know that it's not necessarily good news that people switch churches all the time, but it is, it seems to me, encouraging that it seems that they are engaged, that the reason they're switching churches is because they care about the doctrine, they care about being involved, and at least that shows us that they are engaged. Devout Christians, as you said, 94%, I think. So we know that they're actually active, at least from this study. And that's a good news, I suppose. What does this say about the health of the church overall? Does that tell you anything?
Well, I think that we know from other studies that, our churches could be healthier. Now, how do you make those judgment calls? You know, there's the quantitative sort of analysis of, 70 to 80% of Protestant churches in North America are plateaued or declining. So okay. We know statistically that's at least one sign of the lack of health in many of our churches around the country. And so we know that there could be a much greater sign of health in terms of evangelistic fruit and reaching out and impacting the community. So we know there's also a lot of churches where I think a lot of people would say there's a lack of doctrinal substance to some of our churches throughout the country. Now, remember, this was a Protestant study. This was not just of the Southern Baptist Convention, where Lifeway is tied to. So, yes, I think churches, we have a major concern for the health of our churches. But we have to remember, Brooklyn, theologically, that Jesus is on his throne. The church is his bride, and he's not wringing his hands with fear. He will see his purposes through to the end. The church will be triumphant. And so we know ultimately the news is good. We don't have to become overly pessimistic. But as leaders, yes, we have a lot of work to do, trusting in God's empowerment to do that.
I think that's interesting to pull that aspect out of it. Well, gentlemen, do you have anything else that you'd like to add?
There are a lot more things we could say, but we've tried to put most of those on the website for people to read through.
Okay. Yeah, and I did want to direct listeners to the website. This information and an abundance of information is available at www.lifewayresearch.com. Dr. Wagner, Scott, thank you very much for being here today. We look forward to your next study. I hope you'll come back and share some more with us.
Thank you. Glad to.
Inside Lifeway is a production of Lifeway's Corporate Communications Department. For the latest Lifeway news, to subscribe to our e-newsletter, or for media contact information, visit the online newsroom at www.lifeway.com/news.